Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Holy crap, Bob. It's the last weekend of January already. Where does it go, man? I can't believe that we're already a month into 2018. And I am Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks for joining us. It is the weekend if you're hearing this show, and we appreciate you taking a little time to listen to our ridiculous fodder. You can find us online at thegrillinguys.com and, of course, on Facebook and the Twit Machine. Do any decent grilling this week?
You know, did a couple beer butt chickens, and I really forgot how much I like those. You know, everybody's got their New Year's resolution. Mine was to lose a few pounds, probably like 90% of our listeners was. How are you going to do that? Well, I need to cut back on the number of times I eat out, right? I need to
That's
eat
a great
better.
Idea. Yep.
And with my new job, I have an opportunity. We sell appliances, so there's some of them that are hooked up, right? And I can bring stuff to work and throw it in. So I did a couple beer butt chickens because I can pull that chicken and take it with me, and you eat it on a salad or eat it on a sandwich. A lot of uses, right? So, but I forgot how much I really enjoy my big green egg and beer butt chickens because
they're wonderful.
Oh my gosh, it's just perfect. I put the deflector plate in there, right?
Of course.
And set a couple stands on there, and I used a cherry 7-Up was my steaming liquid.
Nice.
Yeah, and it gave it kind of a sweet little profile. Somebody gave me a tip on that. Put my Old World Olive Company garlic on the outside of the chickens. And then that Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats, our buddy over there, has a seasoning blend he calls Tim's Blend, which is garlic, salt, pepper, onion powder, a little paprika, not much, but just a really an overall
nice
blend.
General spice.
Yeah. And with
salt.
Lots of salt. And when that garlic EVO on there, and then I covered them pretty heavily with that, and then put them on that green egg, and I used, I'm going down the list of products, this is crazy, but I used a ThermoPen, but our Thermo Q, which has the remote thermometer on it, right?
Yep.
Set the temperature on the internal of the chicken, stuck it into the deepest part of the thigh, which is the slowest part to cook, put it at 165, shut that lid, and I set the ambient temperature in there at 325 because
nice.
I didn't want it to cook too fast because I didn't want to dry them out. But,
right.
You know, a couple hours later, I had two of the most beautiful beer butt chickens I'd done in a long time, and I'm like, man, that is exactly what that piece of equipment is designed to do.
And then you pull them off and let them rest.
Right. Yep. And you start cutting them away, and the juice is just pouring out of
what
them.
What I do when I pull those off and let them rest is I'll take some foil and put it over them because they want to steam off a whole bunch for some reason. I guess because they're missing their head.
Yeah.
but I'll take a piece of tin foil or even wax paper or anything and just kind of blanket them and let them park for about a half an hour.
Right.
You about have to because if you're going to touch them and try and pull them or anything like that, they're incredibly hot.
Yeah.
You'll burn your fingers off.
But it was perfect. I got it to that 165 and it was still juicy. There was no bloody joints or anything when I tore it apart. Because, you know,
perfect.
You're tearing it apart by
That's
hand.
That's satisfying. Did you take pictures?
No, I didn't
Fail.
Take pictures. Yeah. I just ate it.
I got a good story for you. Well, first of all, I have pretty much done a lot of the hard work on my house. So I'm slowing down a whole bunch and I'm not getting the workout I was getting. So I went back to Snap Fitness and the branch in Lowell, Belding, and Greenville. They're our sponsors. And so I went back to Snap and started working out again. And it feels really good. Matter of fact, I did it right. I have to give myself credit because, you know, in the past, very often when you get back into a workout like January, everybody starts working out again in January.
Yeah. The full gym month.
Yeah, you go at it and you just you know, you get the endorphins going, and they're your first few times out there, you really crank it, and then A, you either hurt yourself, or B, you just fall apart and fall off the wagon or whatever. This time I decided to take it easy, and I just went with the elliptical machine, and I did like 45 to 55 minutes on the elliptical.
That's some good cardio going.
Which is good, and I don't even go real fast. I put the tension up, so it's kind of hard, but I don't go real fast. I just kind of slog it out like I was maybe cross-country skiing in the winter, you know, going through the woods or something like that, where it's kind of a hard push, but still kind of nice. Do it about like that with some resistance, but not, you know, flying, trying to get my heart rate crazy. But I did that for a couple weeks, and this week I hit the weights. I did that for only 25 minutes, and then I hit the weights. And I'll tell you what, it feels so good to get back into lifting and doing something that you can feel your strength coming back. You know, you can, you just do your reps and you go through the stuff. And when you get done, it's a high. It's better than drugs.
Sure,
I can testify to that. But so it's just a good idea to get back into fitness. And if you're anywhere around Snap Fitness and in Lowell Belding or Greenville, I'd urge you to go in there because the deals are good and it's just healthy. And you see lots of friends in there.
Sure you do.
All your buddies go in this time of year. You're all looking at each other going, oh, you're not as fat as me. Oh, no, you're not as fat as me.
Yeah.
But this week we did a small group at church, and the first meeting was last week, last Tuesday, and we go to my buddy's house, and his wife has this big pan of brownies on the counter, and all we could do for an hour and a half was smell the stinking brownies.
Right.
And I didn't hear her offer us any, and I'm dying for her to offer us some. Well, apparently she did, but I didn't hear it because I was talking to my buddy Mike, her husband. So I left there, and I'm like, man, I was dying for a brownie. And my wife goes, well, she told you to take one. I'm like, you're kidding me. Because, you know, if you smell brownies for two hours, it's like, they're driving me nuts, Cheech and Chong. And
yeah, but see, you fought it off and it helped your fitness plan, right? So
no,
it's all good.
It didn't. So I told my daughter a couple of days later when my wife was gone for the weekend, I said, bring home a brownie mix. So because I was thinking, I got this beer from one of our brewer buddies, and it's a gingerbread beer. I don't much care for ginger snap cookies or gingerbread man, and I don't want him floating in my beer.
Right.
But I thought, well, maybe that would be good to make brownies with. So I used it to make a batch of brownies. My buddy makes from that Mason James Bakery. He made the Founders brownies.
Yep. Yep.
So I made it with this gingerbread man.
That was your liquid. Yeah.
Wow, were they great.
Really?
So I still have a couple left. Yeah. You can just pick up a nice hint of the gingerbread, but you can kind of taste the beer in there. Wonderful idea. If you have a beer you don't like.
We used to make other kind of brownies in college.
Make some
but we never made them with beer.
I won't mention the beets and the beef ribs.
So. Why not, man? What do you do with a beet? That is a vegetable that I know you cook them on the side of open fire beside your you know, pot and all this other stuff that you like to use. But
yeah.
God.
Beets are, you know, I'm discovering more and more, and you're seeing it in the news and infomercials and feeds all over the place, that the beets are turning out to be quite a superfood. So
yeah.
I'm trying to eat more of them. You got to kind of force yourself because it's a basic root vegetable. It's kind of boring. It's kind of cool. If you roast it, it's kind of cool. I got to admit, they've got a kind of cool flavor once you roast them. But what I did was I roasted a bunch of beets, and then I cut off the greens, and I sautéed them up with some bacon and onion. That was actually
pretty
good.
That just went from healthy to tasty.
It was.
To me.
It was, and both. It was both.
You got greens, beet greens. Wow. Oh, shoot. Hey, coming up next, we might talk a little bit about this little football game we got coming up called the Super Bowl and some of the yummies that you might want to do on your grill when the people start showing up. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Welcome back to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're out. We're getting a little break in the winter again, and we're up above freezing, and that's just my kind of ice fishing. I am not an avid ice fisherman, but I do enjoy it. And when it's warm like this and you drill a hole and you don't have to skim it and you can walk around the ice comfortably in a flannel shirt, maybe in a pair of insulated jeans, then this is my kind of fishing. And generally, sometimes a fish bite in this weather. But you are listening, Grilling Guys. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, man?
Hey, thanks for the ice update.
Yeah, right. I'm on it.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. You know you're from the Northland when you think 29 degrees is nice.
Yeah.
But my friends up in Alberta, I was just watching their Facebook feeds. They all were down in Puerto Vallarta, and they're going back to like zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's okay. I've wanted to mention, if anybody out there is looking for some Super Bowl tickets, I have... a buddy of mine has two of them.
Really?
Yeah, two Super Bowl tickets. You can private message me on this if you want them. But they're box seats. He paid $3,500 a ticket. But that includes the ride to and from the airport, lunch, dinner, and a $400 bar tab, and a pass to the winner's locker room after the game.
Wow.
So it's a good deal. So $3,500 a ticket. What he didn't realize when he bought them was that was the day of his wedding.
What?
Yeah. So if you're
interested. Well, change the wedding. There's only one Super Bowl day. You can get married any day.
If you're interested, he's looking for someone to take his place. It's at St.
At the wedding or at the Super Bowl?
It's at St. Paul's Church at 3 p.m. Her name is Ashley. She's about 5'4 and a good cook, loves to fish.
Right. Send a picture of the boat.
Yeah. So, anyway, I had to. That was too funny. Especially for the Super Bowl. I'm not even going to watch the Super Bowl.
No?
I'm going to a Super Bowl party, and we're having a bonfire outside.
Oh.
And we're all going to hang around the bonfire and ride quads and side-by-sides.
It's not a BYODO? Bring your own Dutch oven? Is that the kind of party you're going to?
I'm going to do actually a boil.
All right.
I'm bringing a bunch of seafood. But I decided since the NFL doesn't want veterans ads on the Super Bowl, that they don't want veterans to watch it. So me and all my vet buddies are not watching the stinking NFL Super Bowl.
All right.
So screw those people. They can have that lousy league. It's dropping right off the radar anyway. So I guess they're trying to die a quicker death. So we're going to be riding quads, having a giant bonfire, and hanging out in the snow at my buddy's little hunting shack at the end of his runway. He's got a private runway, and a bunch of pilots hang out there, and I'm going to do a boil. I've got a bunch of clams, and I've got oysters. I've got shrimp, prawn. I've got squid, octopus, and more shrimp and scallops. And I'm going to bring my big boiler out there, my big turkey fryer, mm-hmm. and I'm going to do a proper boil.
So let's break that down a little bit, because that's the kind of food that once you get it done, you can shut it down and continue to serve it for an hour or two.
Oh, yeah.
And which makes really good Super Bowl food. But as you're making that, it isn't just a pot of water that you start throwing stuff in, right?
And we're going to cover that in later on the show. Our good buddy T-Gid is coming in, and we're going to call him up, dial him on the telephone line. And T-Gid down from Louisiana, from the Percy Guidry Company.
Yep.
We're going to learn it the proper way, Cajun style.
Perfect. So let's talk some northern appetizers then, because everybody likes to come to the Super Bowl party and have a big plate of chicken wings. Well, that isn't rocket science, building wings.
No.
I smoke them rather than grill them most of the time. I think they stay more moist. What doesn't happen when I do that, though, is you don't get a crispy skin. So sometimes that if I feel ambitious, I'll pull them off the smoker and throw them on the grill for 3 or 4 minutes. And that's when I sauce them, if I have sauce on them at all. Most of mine are dry rubbed that I prefer, and dip it in a ranch or blue cheese or whatever, honey mustard,
whatever
you like.
If you're not getting them crispy enough, I would suggest you are not smoking them at a high enough temperature.
Okay, which it could be. I just don't like rubbery chicken skin.
Well, yeah, that's what will happen is you'll take 2 hours to cook them through, because we're all freaks about chicken. We don't want to see blood in the joints, right?
Right.
I'm there with you. So smoke them. Use a lot of smoke at as highest temperature as possible, like 325 to 350. You can still get a little bit of smoke at 350.
Mm-hmm.
And throw them on there. And if you have a good charcoal and some hardwood on there, you'll still get a nice wood profile. You won't get a ton of smoke, but just enough to make it nice.
Right.
But your skin will come out nice and crispy.
What about on a pellet grill? Because that pellet grill
is going to be the same thing. You're not going to get a lot of smoke.
Ramp it right up.
You are. 375. You're not going to get a lot of smoke, but you'll get a smoke-ish, we'll call it.
Okay.
And so you got to get your temperature up on chicken and wings. Anything you want to crisp up, you can't go low and slow.
Right.
Save that for your butt.
Right. Run it up. So anyway, let's talk about some jalapenos.
Yeah. So
everybody likes those too.
I bought the other day, I love fresh jalapenos. I love peppers, period. But went to Meijer, and they have a beautiful vegetable and fruit selection. I mean, typically anyway. They're like the best fresh fruits around.
Yeah.
So I'm picking through their peppers. I didn't pick a pack, but I picked a bag.
there's a rhyme in there somewhere, but I'm not going to go there.
They have jalapenos, dude. They have jalapenos that are the size of this long neck, the top of this long neck on this Oktoberfest.
Okay.
They're so big that you can cut the top off them, core them a little bit, and then stuff them, I mean, with a spoon. They're so big,
right?
You won't have trouble getting your stuffing in them. So with big bowl games and stuff like that, stuffed jalapenos are just, they're like such a favorite.
Right.
That I figured I had to do something like that. I liked your idea of putting a meat stick in it.
Yeah.
You know, and
just something different
atomic
that people aren't expecting. You
yeah,
know,
and that cuts down on the cream cheese, too.
Right.
So that's a really good idea.
You're wrapping them in bacon?
Real thin bacon. And then, so I'm going to stuff them with some cream cheese. And I typically saute up some real harsh onions or something, like
a
yellow Spanish.
Yellow Spanish.
And not a harsh, but, you know, a real flavorful, stronger onion. Saute them up just a little bit, and saute up some Jimmy Dean or some of that. There's a new sausage I've seen, Tennessee Pride, I like even better than Jimmy Dean. It's a little less money, and it's also sold about everywhere. It's called Tennessee Pride. I've been sauteing that up, and then throw some strong onions in with it, drain off all your grease, let it cool, mix it in with cream cheese and a little sea salt, and then let that, put that back in the fridge and let it cool, because it's got to be cold, because you scoop it out in like a spoonful and you put it between your hands and you kind of roll it into a, like a cigar looking thing.
Yeah, a little log.
Yeah, like a grape leaf. And it slides right into that jalapeno then. You take your thin sliced bacon and you wrap it over the edge of it, and then you wind it around
The top that has the hole in it.
Yep.
Put it over the top. Cover the hole.
Yeah.
With
keeps
a little
from,
flap, and then wrap it around the other way.
Keeps it from puking out when you grill it.
Yeah.
And gosh, those turn out nice.
And the cream cheese from time to time will cook out of there. So you don't want to turn them too many times. Try to
But if you put your when you set it on the grill where your bacon ends up, put that piece down first, and it'll cauterize it and hold it to the grill.
Coming up next, we're going to keep on this wing trail. We're going to do a little fast and easy ones and maybe a skillet steak or two. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from The Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Satisfaction's been our name since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. I hope you're out in your backyard working on your Super Bowl recipes so that when everybody comes over and sits in front of your 80-incher, that you're putting out platters of food that everybody's going to get a little enjoyment out of. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, man?
Hey, welcome back to the Grilling Guys. And don't forget to check us out on the interweb. It's thegrillingguys.com. Go up to the top right corner. You'll find a headset you can click on to send this show to your phone. It's actually a free podcast as well as just a fun show. But a lot of millennials, dude, are podcasting, and you would be shocked at the podcast numbers we have. So keep it up out there, everybody who's downloading the podcast. We are on more and more stations, and there's many more stations than are listed currently on the on our site. So if you're listening outside the West Michigan market, hit us on Facebook and tell us what your station is that you're listening on. We'd like that feedback from you, and we'll make sure and get all those stations on the website. But you can follow me on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy. And, of course, we're on Facebook / The Grillin' Guys. And we love it when you post pictures on our Facebook page.
Bob, this time of year, the iron skillet is something that I like to use, because when it's cold out and you put a little heat on that iron skillet, it'll heat up uniformly across. Doesn't matter where the heat source is underneath it. The conductivity of that skillet makes it a perfect place to do some cooking. And you use your iron skillets a lot more than I do.
Ton.
And what I want to talk about is a skillet steak. And give us an idea, because if you don't want to do it on the grill and you want to do it in an iron skillet, you could do it inside if you're a wimp, or if you can go outside
whatever.
And you want to set it on the grill, you can use it there too. But there are some tips and techniques about using that iron.
Yeah, chefs do it all the time.
Right.
Actually, you know, in the past, we've eaten steaks that came off a griddle for years and never thought they were bad steaks. They tasted darn good.
Right.
Cast iron's almost like having a rebirth or something.
Uh-huh.
Babe Winkleman's wife, Chris, called me just last night, and she was talking about Lodge, and I was laughing. She was trying to sell me on Lodge.
Right. Are they getting the Winkleman line of Lodge cookware now?
I said, okay. Yeah, you're preaching to the choir, babe.
Yeah.
But cast iron is so convenient and handy. And here's the best part. It's kind of like using that infrared grill you've got, the one you've got and I've got with the glass tops.
Right.
They're so uniform. And cast iron's the same way. It really spreads that heat out nicely.
Right.
And for like doing a steak, my wife's secretary gave me this giant old cast iron pan years ago for deer camp. It has never gone to deer camp.
Right.
Because we use it every day.
I know. It's on your stove. If you were to go to Barbecue Bob's house right now, it's on the stove.
You don't put it away.
They wipe it out. And so let's talk a little bit about seasoning, because yours is ultimately seasoned. Mine probably isn't. But when you season
that big
cast
one
iron,
I bought you mean?
Yeah, because
you never use it?
It's Michelle and I, right?
You never use it?
Yeah, no, I'm saying I never
use it. You're breaking my heart.
But I've used it a half a dozen times. I don't use it a half a dozen times
a week.
Yeah,
just like keep using it, and then just rinse it out with warm water and a scrub brush.
Right.
Never put soap to it.
Right.
Never and then spray it down with a little oil when you're done. But so for a steak, you can do the same thing. Just heat the thing up. Get your pan nice and hot, and I have a gas stove. I like gas cooktops.
Much better.
Electric ovens. So I have a gas cooktop, and I'll put it on the big burner. This thing's like a 16-inch fry pan, right? And I'll get it nice and hot before I put any oil in there.
So you want it hot before you put the oil in. Don't heat the oil up with the pan.
Right.
Why?
A lot less smoke.
You got it.
And because EVO smokes up a bunch.
Yeah. Some of them will have a higher flash temp than others, but at the end of the day, you're going to go beyond that with the iron skillet.
Well, and right now, I don't have a range hood in, so since I rebuilt, and I don't have my new stove and hood in yet, so I don't have a vent. So the four smoke detectors, I all tied together,
One goes, they all
you
go?
You fry bacon, the whole house is waking up. So it's a fancy alarm clock. So you get that pan heated up nicely. Put in some EVO. I tend to use Tuscan on my steaks.
Mm-hmm.
And the Old World Olive Company has a Tuscan version, which is really nice. So I'll throw a little of that oil in there. I'm going to have lightly salted and peppered with sea salt and crushed black pepper my steak 5 or 10 minutes before I put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have sat on the counter for an hour warming up before I do that.
Right.
Now, the salt process, I like putting it on 10 minutes before I cook. You can do it a whole bunch of different ways. If you do it an hour before, you're going to have all that osmosis. You're going to have to rinse the slime off it and then pat it down, re-oil it, and put it on. But there's plenty of ways to do it either way, however you want to do it. And then just flash that thing and give it 2 or 3 minutes on one side, 2 or 3 minutes on the other side, and then turn it down and put a lid on it or put it in the oven. Some people will turn it down. Some people will take it off, throw it in the oven uncovered with mushrooms on it.
Yep.
Like white mushrooms, very good for your testosterone level.
There we go.
How would I know that? Facebook.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If it's on that there internet, that means it's true. Yeah.
And all us older guys need more testosterone. My hair's falling out faster than I can pick it up and put it back in.
Dude, that's been a while now. That is not a new occurrence for you. Yeah. But anyway, country ribs. This is pork shoulder cut into a rib-shaped piece of meat. But the cool part is that they're easy to do. You can do a crap load of them at one time, and they're cheap. Right?
I'm thinking it's good Super Bowl food because even if they come in too big, you could cut them in half one more time and have smaller pieces.
Right. So you're buying a whole pork shoulder if you want to cut these yourself, or if you go to a good butcher, they'll have it cut up for you already.
Yeah, that's what I'm voting for.
Right. And they're called a country rib.
And leave the bone in it.
Right.
That's the cheapest way to get them, and it's just fine.
Right. It's shoulder blade bone. When it's cooked, it'll fall right out of there anyway. And what you're going to find is just like your pulled pork, you can put a seasoning profile on that, anything that you like. It'll take a ton of seasoning because it's a big, dense hunk of meat. And dry rub it first, put your wet stuff on at the end, right? That's always been my recommendation with any kind of barbecued pork is if I'm going to season it, I want my dry rubs on while it's cooking through. And I want a flavor sauce on it right at the end just to get it a little tacky and a little bit so that, you know, you get dirty fingers when you're eating it.
I agree. We have on our website a recipe my daughter Emily sent it's a Mexican way to do pork, and I'm at a loss for the term.
El porco.
No. Thank you, Dr. Spanish.
Yeah.
Spanglish. I'm at a loss. I shouldn't have brought it up, but it's becoming one of my favorite profiles because it's basically I put parsley in the blender in my bullet, my magic bullet, and then I chop that up with some onion and garlic, and then I add a bunch of orange juice and beer. I'll marinate the pork in that. And it's fantastic. And then I'll just basically rub the pork down with adobo, whatever favorite adobo flavoring I like.
That's good stuff.
So I'll marinate that butt for like a day in this marinade. And if you don't want to use parsley, you can use cilantro. Works just as well. A little different.
Right.
A little better maybe in my opinion. But they're both very close. They're cousins.
Right.
So it won't matter. But this is a fantastic way to do a butt. So I'm thinking if you were doing country ribs, it would be a fantastic way to do that too, especially if you're just going to cheat and put them in the oven,
which
is
fine.
It absolutely is fine.
Yep.
I'll come up with that and I'll post it.
All right. Very good. Coming up next, we might be traveling to Louisiana and talk to our buddy T. Gidd because he's going to talk about that seafood broil that you're not going to want to miss. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Then she jumps up on the bar, and she starts to scream. She says, "Hell yeah, turn it up, right on. Hell yeah, sounds good. Sing a song, guitar man."
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
This is Job from The Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. This is one of my favorite guests that we have on the show. Whenever we get a chance to corner him in that Lafayette, Louisiana, we take an opportunity to reach out to our buddy T. Gidd. And now we're going to, on the live line, we've got T. Gidd. We're going to talk a little bit of Super Bowl food. How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm great. I'm a little depressed that the Saints kind of lost the way they did. They got a young team. The future looks bright, you know. But, oh, yeah, Super Bowl. Good time to have family over and have a bunch of food. And
that's right.
About balling some food, huh?
Hey, we're talking about pinching the head and sucking the tail, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. Woo!
Lazy le bon tarolule.
Yeah, I love the intro music, bro. While you had me on hold, I feel like I was back at home. Bro. Yeah. I never heard a flute played with a Cajun band, but that, hey, it worked for me, man. Yeah. I love it.
Jethro Tull in Louisiana.
Yeah, right.
I love it.
Thick as a Prawn, I think, was the album.
Yeah, right.
We call them Shant. Yeah.
So I want to do a Super Boil Sunday.
Super Boil Sunday. Dude, you just a man. I tell you what.
I have a lot of seafood in my freezer. I got to use it up. And I'm heading out to my buddy's. He's got like a Cajun camp out in the woods with a private runway. So I don't know. It's CIA related, but I can't talk about it in public
any more than you already have.
Yeah.
So, T. Gidd, help us out here. You've been doing these boils since you were knee-high to a grasshopper, and maybe we don't do as many of those up here. So set us up on what it takes to do a good seafood boil. And we're in the winter up here now, so it's going to be cold, so help us out.
Hey, it's cold down there now, too.
Right.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. We already got 2 snowfalls down here in Louisiana, man. We know what to do with ourselves.
Right.
We thought the Saints were going to the Super Bowl because we felt hell done froze over, you know? It was a sign.
They'll be playing the Lions?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But, so how we do it down here is you get you a nice, powerful burner that's going to put out about 150,000 or more BTUs, you know, and you got a high-pressure regulator with a propane bottle, and you get a big old 80 to 100-quart, you know, pot with a basket in it, and you fill it about halfway up with good old Michigan tap water, I guess, you know, and or snow, and let it...
Well water.
Right.
Well water, whatever you got, yeah. And then the seasoning... This guy, it's like gumbo, you know. Everybody has an opinion,
yeah,
you know. And but I can tell you one thing: if you use cayenne, regular salt, a little bit of some kind of hot sauce, liquid hot sauce, like I don't know what y'all got up there. You know, everybody's familiar with Tabasco, but they got a lot of good hot sauce out there. Put a little bit of
Louisiana hot sauce.
Yeah, and you can use bay leaves and. You know, we got stuff down here. It's like it's a liquid. It's called crawfish and crab boil. And
okay.
It's a liquid, and it has a bunch of herbs and seasonings already in there.
So you don't throw a pack of Old Bay in there?
You could use Old Bay. It's a very similar flavor to what Old Bay gives you. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's the easy way.
You definitely use that. And some people have the little sacks, you know.
Right.
Crawfish and crab ball sacks, you know, and has like the little beads and stuff in there. just don't poke it. You don't want all them beads all over you.
Right. Well, Old Bay actually has those too.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, man. Just throw the whole sack of Old Bay in there is what I was talking about.
There you go.
You can find those anywhere.
Yeah, and typically, you know, before the seafood goes down, we boil the veggies. You know, we got corn and you got potatoes. We do onions, do garlic. Some people do mushrooms. Some people throw smoked sausage or weenies for the kids in there. And you can either leave it floating around in the basket, but if you want to kind of keep it neat, you can get those laundry bags that you can tie off and just drop that down. And that way, if you're in a hurry and you want to put the seafood in, your veggies weren't all the way cooked, you can just take them out, put the seafood in, put the bag back on top with the seafood, and keep boiling your veggies at the same time.
So, and like then, I was telling you yesterday when I was talking to you, I've got a bunch of different seafoods. I've got prawn. I've got squid.
Yeah.
I've got oysters, clams.
Those are in the shell. The oysters and the clams are still in the shell.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And actually some octopus, which I'm going to try just because I have it.
Right.
And then I'm going to get some scallops.
Yeah. Well, everything but the prawns, which we call them shrimp down here. But, yeah, everything but that, I've never boiled that. But we talked about that before
right.
We got on the air. And, you know, you just got to – it's kind of like barbecuing. You know, you just got to look at the thickness of the protein. And so, you know, of course, your squid isn't going to be as thick or as big as your –
That'll cook quick.
Probably.
Yeah, you don't want that in long.
No, you don't. It's going to get too rubbery.
Right.
You just want to kind of – I'd use a amount of time between probably 2 to 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you know.
So I'm going to put the potatoes, onions, celery, and carrots in first with a couple gallons of water and a bag of Old Bay. And I'm going to boil them for about 45 minutes.
There you go.
And then I'm going to cut up some ears of corn into like 1 and 2 inch pieces and throw them in there. And then I'm going to round it off with all the seafood. I'm just going to put all that in at the last minute and give that 5 minutes and pull it.
And pull it, yeah, because the last thing you want to do, I mean, anybody that's eaten ball shrimp that's been overcooked, I'd say they'll never eat that stuff again because it was just too much work. But let me tell you, if you ball crawfish or shrimp right, the protein doesn't stick to the shell, and that you literally pull 2 rungs, of the shell off, and you pinch the tail, and it just pops right out. That's perfect. And that don't take, normally with shrimp, when it floats to the top, you take it out. It's done.
And if you don't, it'd be a violation of man law.
Well, I mean, your wife ain't going to be happy with you. Your girlfriend ain't going to be happy with you. You know,
you're not hearing me, brother.
Nobody's going to be happy.
You're not hearing me. It's a violation of man law. Today's man law was just too relevant for me as I taped up another mirror on another Jeep. Today's man law is women can't drive.
Yeah, easy. Well, what was it torn off backing up or was it torn off going forward?
Oh, I don't know.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah.
Somebody must have hit me.
Yeah. Always somebody else's fault, right?
Oh, they're fitting too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, what do you like to put with your boil? Do you do like beans and rice?
No. We typically just use the seafood and the veggies, and then the secret is the sauce. You know, I don't know if y'all do a dipping sauce for your boiled product, but we have a mayonnaise, ketchup, Worcestershire, hot sauce. Type of mixer that we mix together.
Really?
And that, oh yeah, and you dip it in that, and it's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like
it sounds like cocktail sauce with mayo.
Kind of like a cocktail sauce, yeah, but you definitely use mayo as your prime ingredient, and then probably one part ketchup to 2 parts mayo, and then a shot of any kind of hot sauce, and a couple of squirts of Worcestershire sauce. And stir that up real good.
No horseradish?
All season all in there.
Oh,
Oh. Hmm. Yep. That does sound good.
Oh, yeah. It's dang.
Really good.
Yeah. Oh, and another thing we put in with the veggies, just so you know, I forgot about, is lemons. You cut up a couple of lemons and squeeze the juice and throw the whole lemon halves in there, and it kind of gives it that nice little seafood.
Oh.
You know, lemons and seafood go really good together.
Nice. Well, hey, yeah. We appreciate you coming on chatting with us, pal, and I can't wait to see that new Cajun grill when it comes out. And we'll talk about that in the next few months as that gets near to production.
Yeah, man, I appreciate y'all. Y'all do a great job educating the people, and I know they love you. Y'all keep growing, and it's because y'all doing good work. Y'all feeding the public with information and feeding their minds with good recipes. So I'm just glad to be a part of it. Give it a little Cajun spice to it.
And don't forget, Lazy Le Bon Tall Roulet.
Well, you're getting better and better.
All right.
About another 6 months, we're just going to give you a certified Cajun T-shirt.
Okay, I want the other one.
Right.
See you, baby.
All right.
Okay, that's T. Gidd from Percy Guidry, Lafayette, Louisiana. So, that's about it, Jop.
It is about it. And, hey, we appreciate you listening each and every week. If you're getting out there doing a little ice fishing, be safe. We've had some warmer weather. Just make sure that you don't swim for one. You've been listening to Grilling Guys. We'll talk with you next week.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Welcome back to the boneless segment of the Grilling Guys. For those of you that are new hearing this and new to the Grilling Guys, we do this little bonus every once in a while, and we'll throw it on the back end of the show. And we thought we'd talk a little bit about one of the cool things that I learned from Barbecue Bob and a guy named Cowboy Rob Russell. But between the two of these guys, it was the first time I'd ever seen something like this, affectionately known as a fatty. Describe it for us, Bob.
Yeah, there's tons of variations, but the first ones we learned out in Kansas, Rob and I were in a training class in Kansas City, and the first way we learned to do it was actually called a bacon explosion. And the bacon explosion, you just weave some bacon together on some wax paper, and, you know, just like you'd make a woven hat in the Caribbean,
right.
You just weave, and you do a bacon weave. And then you take some of your favorite breakfast sausage, put it on another piece of wax paper, flatten it out to make a nice square, and then you put something in there, some veggies or whatever you want. You roll it up with some seasoning and some cheese inside there, and you set it on the bacon, and you roll that up, and you tuck the whole thing together so you have what looks to be a sausage bacon log, and
right.
You smoke it.
Right.
And it's actually very, very good.
This is not a grilled item. This is a smoked item.
I saw it on Fox and Friends,
right?
When a phony barbecue chef was on there once doing it. And as it turns out, I learned that he paid to be on there. But
right.
Anyway, that's where I first saw it. And
you can put anything in the inside of these things. The bacon weave wrapped around a piece of breakfast sausage with something in the center. If you want to spice it up, dice up some jalapenos in there. If you want to make it a little more tame, we've put onions, we've put other vegetables, potatoes, if you want to give it a little bit of a breakfast flair. But fry your potatoes first. These are cooked potatoes you need on the inside.
I don't know. I think you could use those shredded frozen hash browns. That might be, if you wanted to try potatoes in there, that's a pretty good idea. And
right.
A little cheddar.
So, but the idea of this thing is put it on a smoker, 250. You're going to know it's done when the bacon is cooked on the outside, but just to make sure, put a thermometer in it. You got to get that sausage to 160 degrees on the inside to make sure you're not eating raw pork. But other than that, you can pull these things off, let them set. Actually, they cut a little better once they've cooled.
Yes, that's right.
So, but you could even make this today and serve it tomorrow for your Super Bowl, if that was the time frame, you know what I mean? Because
if the Super Bowl were tomorrow,
right? But it's not. But but my point is it's just as good cold as it is warm, right? Once you get it cooked, it's flavorful. We have a butcher shop here in West Michigan called Sobey Meats. They have a kielbasa mix that they make. I buy it uncased, really heavily garlic flavored. And real savory.
That's what you use for your Scotch eggs, too.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's very good. And
that's Jop original.
Yeah, I've used that as opposed to just the regular breakfast sausage because it just imparts a ton of flavor.
I have been getting hooked lately on this Tennessee Pride breakfast sausage.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier in the show.
I had it on sale a few times, and I've bought it over the years, but I'm like a really finicky sausage person. There's so many crappy ones out there. There's nothing worse than staying at a hotel that gives you free breakfast to find out that the sausage is like a turd.
Right.
And that's the way it was when I was in Detroit for 3 weeks. It was turd with your scrambled eggs.
Right. Excellent.
So Southern Pride's a good one. Check it out.
Hey, thanks for tuning into The Grilling Guys. We appreciate you listening every week. We're on each and every Saturday. Tune us in next week. We'll talk to you then.